Okay, let's share something briefly before we close. Let's do some Bible. Let's read the Bible. See, this is Facebook. This is the book I always face. This is my Facebook. Lift your own. Let me see. Your Facebook. Which one is your Facebook? Inside this Facebook, everything you want to know about everybody is here. Eh? You say what? I say everything you want to know about yourself is here. This is the only true Facebook.
Amen.
And today we will look at, let's go to the page of Jacob. Our title today, The Conversion of Jacob.
Hallelujah.
The Conversion of Jacob. How Jacob was converted. And we're not just looking at Jacob. The story of Jacob. Jacob's story. Now he didn't get his story. But what do we learn from the conversion of Jacob? It is the conversion of the believer. The Bible says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom. Cannot see the kingdom. Peter's sermon to the Jews after Pentecost in Acts chapter 3, verse 18 and verse 19. Acts chapter 3, verse 19, 18 and 19.
Repent ye, 18. But those things which God had before showed by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer, He has so fulfilled
everything that was written concerning Jesus Christ. What he will go through, Peter is telling the Jews, it has been fulfilled. What next?
Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord.
What did he say again?
Repent ye therefore and be converted.
So that what will happen?
That your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of
before
the Lord.
Before your sins are blotted out, you must repent and be converted. Converted. So that you'll understand conversion. Conversion, amen, is a work. If you want to convert any item, convert anything. Convert means change it from its estate to another estate. The appearance and everything else. It always, there is a work to be done. And please, church, listen, because anybody that tells you, you should just open your mouth and say after me. You believe in your heart, say with your mouth. Now you are a Christian. It's deceiving you. It is convert, convert, convert. Convert is to transform something to something else, to another thing. Is that thing will not be converted by the thing saying, and now I am chair. I was chair. Now I am table. I'm now table. You see, you are table. You will only become a table from a chair when a conversion is made. And it entails a lot of work. So that you understand what Apostle Paul spoke in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. What did he say?
For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them.
Listen again.
For we are his workmanship.
We are the workmanship. It means God has a workshop. He has a workshop. What does he do with us? If we are the workmanship, that is, we are the products in that workshop that he converts. What does he convert us into?
Created.
He converts us into what?
Created in Christ Jesus unto good works.
Who is the engineer there?
Christ
Jesus.
It's
the Lord Jesus. The Bible in Revelation chapter 1, verse 5 and verse 6 says,
and from Jesus Christ, uh-huh, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead,
uh-huh,
and the prince of the kings of the earth,
uh-huh,
unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood.
Verse 6.
And hath made us kings and priests.
After in that workshop, what does he want to achieve?
And made us kings and priests.
He wants to make you a king and a priest unto God. 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 5. Listen to the language there.
Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, an holy priesthood.
Who are we?
An holy priesthood.
Who are we?
An holy priesthood.
Holy priesthood. To do what?
To offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus
Christ. Verse 9 and verse 10.
But ye are a chosen generation.
This is who we are. We are chosen.
A royal priesthood.
We are a royal priesthood.
An holy nation.
We are known by holiness.
A peculiar people.
We are a set aside people. Peculiar. What is it for?
That ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light.
That is what the process of conversion is supposed to achieve. Brethren, there is the identity of a priest. And not just ordinary priest, royal priest. There is the identity of a prince. Princes don't act like other subjects. They don't go to anyhow places. They choose where to go. They choose who to relate with. They are special people. We are kings. We are rulers. Rulers. Kings. This is who we are. That is our identity spiritually. But where we are coming from to achieve this status, there is work to be done. There is a process to go through. The story of Jacob is our story, church. Amen. We know the story in Genesis 25 that Esau lost his birthright. Jacob, with koni-koni, collected it. So much to learn from there, but let me keep on my thoughts. By Genesis 27 again, the one that he stole was not enough. He collected the blessing that Isaac was supposed to bless his first son, Esau. He collected it. Another koni-koni. So, what was the nature of Jacob? Even when they were in the womb, his nature proved right from the womb. He has always been a cheat. He has been a forerunner. Koni konima. Yahoo, yahoo, all of you that collect people's glory, you are not the one that it started with. It was even with Jacob. That was his identity. But let me tell you, there is no peace to the wicked. There is no peace to the wicked. Nobody, no thief, no robber, no murderer, no 419 has peace. He knows that they are pursuing him. Even if there is nobody physically pursuing him, the Bible says the wicked runneth when there is no one pursuing him. His conscience, guilty conscience, know that what he has done, somebody is after him to revenge. Esau was after Jacob. Esau swore that he will kill him. Jacob had to escape for his life. And escape to where? Escape to become a slave somewhere. Left his father's house. Suffering what he was suffering. Many of us here, the lifestyle we lived before, you know you had no peace in it. No peace in it. One of the reasons people become drunkards is they are trying to forget the karma that they are suffering from. So that when they drink, finish, at least they will not remember. Say, one girl where you disappoint, they curse her. They will remember, say, you know, say that they find him. They will look for him somewhere. So you go and drink. But after, the drink will be over. The fear still continues. No peace for the wicked. No peace for Jacob. No peace. And you discover that what you sow, you reap. When the Bible says you would that men should do to you, so do to others. See, the Bible says, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down. There are many things that people are suffering. They are only reaping what they have sown in the life of people. If you gossip, people will gossip you. Well, that is the truth. If you make people, you enjoy seeing people cry, they will make you cry. See, a single girl, you chase somebody's husband. After you marry, guess we chase your husband also. No, it is not that, and no cry can stop it. What you sow, you must reap. That's the truth. You serve your master. You are stealing his money, stealing his money. You are going to be a master one day, and somebody is going to serve you. In fact, he will steal in good measure. Presta, shake it together. Will your boy steal and steal and steal and steal? It's a law. I know it's a law. Nothing more than that. You maltreat somebody's daughter, somebody's son. You call him houseboy, housegirl. Because it's not from your blood. Don't worry. Say you say you get children. They are growing now. You know they are tomorrow. You know in whose hands they will fall. The same thing will happen. There are some of you that cry. I don't know why nothing is happening. All my children, nothing is happening. Then you are going to prophet. Prophet will always see the witch. But the witch is only fulfilling a law to make you reap what you sow. And that is why the prophet will say, go and do 3 days prayer. Anybody, hey, work, die. Can't you see? No, they work. If you notice, you'll be more careful with your life. More careful with your life. Because the truth is, nobody that disseminates evil to fellow human beings ever has peace. It's a fact of life. It's not about Christianity now. I'm talking about life. No human being that gives out evil to fellow human beings. None. What do you mean of bandits? What are they enjoying? Killing people and then living inside bush. Why are you living inside bush? You collected billions, millions, kidnapper, whatever you call them, terrorists, but they are living inside bush. No peace to the wicked. If you know this as Christians, would you know how to behave with people? Would you know how to treat fellow human beings and worse, them of the household of faith inside church? So he cheated Esau. When he went, Laban gave it to him. I want to marry Rachel. Oh, that's very good. In our tradition, you will serve me for 7 years. No problem. On the day, he didn't tell him that from the beginning, that senior, not they marry before, junior, not they marry before senior. He said, serve now. On the day that he was to have her, they brought another one, Leah. He said, no now. That was the time he told him, after 7 years, you knew who he was serving for. He said, if you want this one, then serve another 7 years. Kai. So they go pay you the way they pay Esau. Where is it? What you sow, you will reap. That will be your pattern of lifestyle. So imagine what that man will go through. He had no peace. Here is he. He knows if he goes to his parents' house, they will enjoy there, in their land. He had peace, had everything. But here is he, here, a slave. Because he's running away from people that want to kill him. We have seen them now. They run to church. They are running for cover. No peace. No peace. That's why many people join cult. After they join cult again, they enter another trouble. They call the people. You know, no, say there is another rivalry cult. Where the day after their own members. So the killing continues. No peace. Praise the Lord. But, amen. One day. One day, Jacob sat down to look. Where will I go? Where will I go? Read Genesis chapter 32 from verse 24. So that somebody may just catch a glimpse of the story.
And Jacob was left alone. And there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And he said unto him, what is thy name?
What is thy name?
And he said, Jacob.
What is thy name? What is your name? People don't think. That story just looks like as if the angel is asking him, what is your name? As if he didn't know his name. Just like God, he came down in the Garden of Eden, he didn't see Adam. Adam! Where art thou? As if he didn't know where he was. He didn't know where he was. So it's not that God didn't know where he was. There is a meaning to that question. What the angel wanted Jacob to do is to truly acknowledge, this is the reason I am suffering. What is your identity? Say, I am Jacob. And in those days, they don't give name anyhow. Your name is your identity. What did they call him? Jacob. That was why they gave him that name, Jacob. Cheat. Supplanter, 419, Wuruwuru man. This is who I am. That question is saying that I am, my name is Jacob. The purpose is to bring Jacob to see whether Jacob will be sincere enough to confess that this is who I am. I need this change. I need this change. Brethren, your conversion begins from a sincere acceptance of your weakness. And before you can accept who you are, there will be a pressure. There is a pressure. There is a squeeze that you have to go through to bring out who you are, make you admit that this is who you are. And the purpose for it is so that you can know who you are and know your prayer point. You will never go to the hospital until you accept that you are sick. So, when that sickness wants you to go to the hospital, the intensity will increase. When it reaches that stage, medicine will kill me, make I go to the hospital. But if it is just small headache, which is a sign something is wrong, you will continue. You won't go to the hospital. Are you sick? No. I'm not sick. Now my enemy is sick. Not be me. You never talk him. Now your enemy is sick. You will never know until a squeeze brings you to a point where you are convinced of your negative lifestyle, ungodly lifestyle. And it is only when you are convinced that you become convicted. The conviction there is a state where you say it's true. This kind of life where they live, nothing good can come my way. You're already convicted. I am guilty. I am the reason why I'm suffering. Now this lifestyle where I live, now it make me to do like this. Imagine me, I they go church. I see they sleep with a woman. Will not be my wife. Imagine I they go church. I see they lie. Imagine I they go church. I see they smoke. I they go church. I see they drink beer. I they go church. I still they do homosexual. Lesbian. And they go church. I see they go nightclub. And they play music for church. And they play music for nightclub. And they sing in the church. And they sing for no wonder. No matter how much I speak in tongues. When I wake up, nothing will happen. It is only at that state that you now be concerned for your life. And it is only at that estate that you will now pray a sincere prayer. You can now pray a prevailing prayer. And that was the estate Jacob was when he saw an angel of God. Opportunity for my change has come. And he held on to that angel in that night vigil. People come to church and sleep. There's nothing you are battling with. That's why you are sleeping. That angel saw shege for the hand of Jacob, that because it was an opportunity he had. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Because if Jacob did not go through the frustration that he went through, he would not have admitted that he is a fraudulent person. All through these years, he was thinking he was smart. When a fraudulent person wants to justify his fraudulent lifestyle, he will not say he's fraudulent, he say, I am smart. All these years, your smartness, where did it lead you to? You're a fugitive, Jacob. Where did it lead you to? How has it blessed you anywhere? See how many jobs you have lost. Because when you reach there, you go thief, thinking you are smart. They go catch you after, dismiss you. You got another opportunity, you go thief there again. Pastor, I don't know why. Anytime I get a job, I know they stay long there. But why are others staying long? You know they stay long there. It may be your lifestyle. It's true. And so God allowed that pressure of frustration to bring out who you are. So that you will see before you. Because you cannot give what you don't have. You cannot give what you don't have. It is what is in you that people see. It is what is in you that you release. But sometimes what is in you, you have not yet accepted it. That thing is not working for your favor. It's not working for your favor. And you, there is nothing you can do to make a bad life good until you get convicted and you get concerned with the realization that this lifestyle does not pay me. It doesn't pay me. It will lead me to die. It will lead me. My mates will go ahead of me. See me, I'm in school. My mates are in the third year. I never pass my first year exams. Because na party party I dey go. Because na party party I dey go. My mates now, they will finish before me. What will I tell my parents after 4 years? Hey, I dey play with my life. Now you dey think. But before, you thought you were enjoying your life. But you did not know that there is always a recompense of reward to every lifestyle you live. And it is what you, I say it, it is what is in you that you give out. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't claim any virtue until you face the squeeze for the proof. Don't say, I am not a fornicator, until the squeeze for fornication comes and you escape it. The virtues, the Christian character is not assumed. Christian character, hallelujah, is a nature. Christian character is not seasonal. Christian character is character of God in you. It becomes your lifestyle. Don't stick the feathers, like William Branham would say. You are not an eagle. You are a chicken. Stop taking the feathers of eagle to make you look like an eagle. Dressing like a Christian does not make you a Christian. But if you're a Christian, you will dress like a Christian. You can't help, you know. You don't look like a Christian. Be a Christian. Now, so they dress for here. I go dress like this, and they go to this church. And they go to this church, so make I dress like them. No. That's why he said, come unto me. See, if you come to Christ without a need for Christ, you will not benefit from that call. You must have a need for him. Men and brethren, he said, after they preach, their hearts were pricked. Men and brethren, what shall we do? They were convicted and they became concerned. And these are the people that meet genuine conversion. There are different types of conversion. There's total conversion and there's partial conversion. There is a conversion to make you belong. You are converted. The process of conversion, you tell where Jesus should stop. Do it only this way. Don't go beyond this level. And it's very easy to see them. Why is your conversion not extended to the way you dress? Yet, you love Jesus. You don't go any other place. You don't pray to any other God. You don't go to nightclub. You don't even have boyfriend. You don't even steal. You don't lie. You don't gossip. But when it comes to fashion, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, you don't do, you don't do. This is, you are giving Jesus a reason not to go beyond that. That's partial conversion. When he said, come to me, O ye that labor. When you come, amen, you are coming for conversion. It is for conversion. You are supposed to come with an instead of total surrender. Total surrender. What are you surrendering? You are surrendering where God will work on for the betterment of your life. You will surrender your heart and your own spirit. These are the two things we bring before the Lord. Your heart. And that is why we see in Ezekiel chapter 36, the first place for conversion, the first place is what? It's the heart. When you want to walk in you, the first place it deals with is your heart. It takes away the stony heart and breaks it down. When Sister Marachi was saying that he saw a stone that they were breaking, because it was hindering somebody's blessing. Knowing I was going to preach this, I said, Sister Marachi is seeing my message. Now, true, that stone that they were breaking is your heart, oh. That was the stone, oh. Amarachi, I think you stood there, you said, see, you are seeing it. Where were you seeing it? It's in the altar. It was at the altar you saw that stone. You said, see it. See the stone. The stone Amarachi saw is the hindrance. You are looking at the enemy that put the stone and cover. Hey, now your heart, oh. That's hindering your progress. Don't be any man put on there. Now your carnal nature put on there. Surrender your heart. It will break it. Give you a heart of flesh. So that you stubbornness will disappear. Then your spirit, he said, he will then remove that your spirit, yeah, your test for natural things. Church, listen. Your spirit is your test, gives you your test. Your test. I've said it here several times before, in case you are hearing me for the first time. There is a spirit that controls your interest in anything about life. There is the spirit of fashion. See, I've told you. Amen. But I have the Holy Ghost. But you, your own, it's different spirits you have. It's not only Holy Ghost. Which spirit do you have that you wake up and the first thing is to pick your phone? Even peace, they catch you. You will hold the peace until you see Facebook. It's a spirit now. Why are you alive after service closed? But when you're inside here, sleep, they catch you. There's a spirit controlling. Watch the type of movies that you watch. And when you see these sinners that want to root themselves, establish themselves, and continue with their stony heart, that is even though you have a stony heart. They will tell you there is something we are learning. I'm learning from this film. It's a lie. You are not learning nothing. No, there is nothing you are learning there that can add value to your spiritual life. It only helps you to understand things carnally. Continue your carnality. You know about every character in the social media. You know nothing about the characters in the Bible that God kept there for us to learn something for the betterment of our spiritual life. And yet, you want to justify it. It's a spirit. And so God has to remove that old spirit. How can you, how How can you say you're a Christian and you love to go and sit down among unbelievers and all they are talking? There is nothing spiritual added to what they are talking. And you are comfortable there and you are talking for hours. PDP, APC, Tinubu. You are sitting there talking all that. How will your discussion in your room affect the economy of Nigeria when you don't even know road to Asoro? You don't even know any minister. You don't know anything. You don't know anybody in government. So, and you are here, and then they will talk. It's a lie. If you see, Jagaba, if you see, don't all that nonsense. The worst are football people. Football. It's a spirit. Bayern. What again?
Arsenal.
Jazz. Jazz. Man U. All of you know it. We all know it. Praise the Lord. And then a pastor was praying for football club to win. Pastor. They stood up and raised prayer point and everybody, amen, amen. Super Eagle will win. Amen. Amen. The elephant, the eagle will smash the elephant. Amen. And then I was watching, I say, Kai, it is the spirit in them. Nothing more. When that spirit is changed, you will act different. I'm talking to sincere people now. Because only you can deliver yourself. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And so, like I said, only sincere prayers and a sincere walk with God. I say sincere. Oh, glory be to God. Sincere prayers and sincere walk with God begins from the discovery of who you are and who God is. I repeat, if you don't know who God is, how will you know how to relate with Him? If you don't know who God is, how will you know what He expects of you? And that's why He said, come to me. When you come, Apostle Paul called it grafting. He is the vine. We are supposed to be the branches. And we are grafted. If you are plucked off from a wild olive tree as a branch, and you bring it to a good tree, you are grafted there. It's expected that your nature will be affected. Because you will pick on the nature of where you are finding nourishment from. If you desired, listen, you desired, you are a mango branch, and you desired to be an orange. You want to produce orange. Therefore, they should plug you off from the world, from mango, so that you will come and join the orange tree. You are grafted there. Amen. By the time it is time to produce the fruit, when you see the fruit that you are producing is different from the orange fruit, then you will know that you have not yet understood what is expected of you when you get grafted to the orange. And that is when you begin to ask, what is happening? Why is my life like this? Since I came to Christ, why am I still battling with this? Why am I saying this? Why am I doing this? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Because He said, if you see the Father, if you see me, you see the Father. And every Christian, we are called to conform to the image of Jesus Christ according to Romans 8:29. We are to conform to His image. Therefore, we too should boldly say, if you see me, you see Jesus. Yes. Until you come to that estate in character, your Christianity has not begun yet. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. What does the squeeze therefore achieve? The squeeze is to enable you to know who you are. The rose flower, we understand, has a very beautiful fragrance. Correct? But it's a flower. The fragrance, you only enjoy the fragrance when you squeeze the flower. So you see the flower, you take it, smell it, you won't get the aroma more until the fragrance, until you squeeze it. When you squeeze it, the whole atmosphere will change with fragrance. It's true. Bitter leaf, Unko. Bitter leaf. The bitterness in you will only flow when it is squeezed. Bitter leaf Christianity. But it is green like Ugu. It is green like others. But it is when you squeeze, then you will know what kind of water comes out from there. What is supposed to come out of us? He said, out of you, you flow out. John 7:37. What did he say?
37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink.
Yes.
He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers
out
of living water.
Out of your belly will flow bitter leaf water. The water that will come out only when you are squeezed. That is a process. God allows every one of us. When the Bible says, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, is submit yourself so that you will be squeezed, so that you will know who you are. That is the truth. And so, dirty cloth, Uncle. If you want to remove the dirt, what do you do? You wash it and do what? You squeeze it. You rub it. You squeeze so that it will be clean. When the Bible says, so that we have the washing of the water by the word. Can you see how we are washed now? We are washed by squeezing, by washing, by squeezing. And there are different, it depends on the dirt. Then the detergent to be used will be used. And you cannot use dirty water to clean a dirty cloth. You only add dirty. So be careful where you go for that washing. He said he uses clean water. Verse 24 of Ezekiel 36, he said you will use clean water. It has to be clean. Clean water to wash you. And you'll be clean from all your idols and all the nonsense. So if I just use one or two examples to see what this cuisine produces. The works of the flesh. In Galatians chapter 5, if you read it from 19 to 21, it mentions say, the works of the flesh. The works of the flesh. It says they are manifest. But before they will be manifested, there will be a squeeze to make it manifest. One of it is adultery. Praise the Lord. I am not an adulterer. Wait until you begin to lust after another person's wife. When you face a situation where you are resisting adultery, you are resisting fornication, you are faced with it, you are battling with it. That is the squeeze to bring out what is in you. If the thing succeeds, then it becomes a prayer point. Don't say, now only once it tempted me, then the temptation, I could not bear it. If you did not have adultery in you, there would have been no adultery that would be produced. Joseph did not have fornication in him. He ran through the window. Ran through the window. uncleanness. Uncleanness there is not a dirty environment. Your house is smelling of poo poo. It's not that one, no. It's an unclean heart. If you are in the business of pornography, masturbation, and you enjoy seeing things, uncleanness, amen. You enjoy seeing a naked woman walking on the street. You go, even when you're with your wife, you make her walk in front, then you step back. You are having an unclean spirit. Your heart is unclean. An unclean spirit. When you see yourself doing that, you know. What of idolatry? That one, we all know that one. We all know that one. If you want to know where they are, they said they were coming to Christ. They didn't know. Then they were presented with the Pope. The Pope, see what they are doing. Other people ran away from there. But others are there. Because they love those idols that they bow before. You left your father's idol in the village. Then you came to the church. You saw idol. You saw of you to run away. I cannot run from frying pan to fire. You stay there. In the name of Jesus, Holy Mary, this one. It's in you. You left idol. The idol didn't leave you. It's inside of you. You only change address. Same thing with the followers of Minister William Branham. Idol worshiper. Witchcraft, uncle. How will you know you are a witch? There are two identifications for witch. Number one identification is that their lifestyle is manipulate. They manipulate to make you do things that you are not doing it by your own will. You are doing it by something they stage you into. Before you know what, you have done it. And they have achieved what they want to achieve. Any woman that feigned to be sick so that the husband will not go out that day, you are a witch. Meanwhile, you are not sick. Oh. This one, I know, will come out today. Then you go and carry rope, and rub your body. And then, honey, you won't leave me like this. So I don't know how I'm feeling. When the man say, eh, he step out to go and look for Panadol, you go do and face at him. Go and make her see. Go and make her. You're a witch. Manipulators. The second one, amen, is when somebody is happy, and you are angry because the person is happy, you are a witch. And how do I know? You are not only unhappy, you work to hit back at that person. For doing nothing, you know, because he has money and you are poor. Is that not why they are finishing in the village? You have what they don't have. That's all. And the funny thing is that if they deal with you, they kill you. They can't have what you have. So why are they doing it? It's a spirit. And worse, you say you are in the church. And so those of you who have this nature, hatred, something will happen to make you know that you still have hatred in you. Something will happen from what comes out of you. You will know you are still having emulations, envy, anger, and strife, jealousy, particularly anger. Brother, you are coming to church and you still they use your hand, they hit your wife because it make you vex. Amen. Then after you say, now this woman make me to do this. I see this lifestyle, I don't like it. I don't like beating you, honey. I don't like beating you. You know, you they push me into this thing. Nobody push you. You already have it. That thing that woman did to you, if she did it to another man, the man will walk away. Because he is paralyzed. He has no anger in him. He does not have the ability to hit her when she offends him. It's not there, but you have it. That's why you use it. You can't give what you don't have. You have anger in you. Work on it. If you don't work on it, you will hit her one day, she will die. They will not say, your dowry did not cover that too. Now that time you will not say, you get relations. Work on it. How will you be a Christian and envy someone? When the Bible says, you rejoice with those who rejoice. When somebody is happy, I know where you get that money. You know how you take a getter? You know how you get that? And all those who have that spirit, they never progress in life. I said, they never progress in life. Single sister, other sisters are married. Say, you know the man. Everything is negative. You know the man. The man is this, is that. All the description you are describing for their marriage, now that one God will carry give you. When your own turn comes. It's life. It's about life. I wish I had time to stress some of these things very well. Very well. When you see a Christian go and drink beer, they force them for your mouth. They don't force them for your mouth now. Immediately you see Odeko vibrating from the fridge. They open up. The foam is coming out. The spirit inside of you will say, give me some more. And if you don't take it, you won't have peace. After drinking, he said, come, I don't know why they drink. I think it's because I am following all these drunker friends. I will not follow them. It's a lie. I will follow them and I will not drink because there is no more drink in me. I will not drink. While you are sitting down there, some other person comes, say, give her one bottle of beer. I say, no, just give me pure water. But you, your own, you say, they tempt me. God, Father, forgive me. Bring one. Don't bring, I'll drink only one, no. I'll take only one, no. You're a drunkard. A drunkard. It's an opportunity. But look, you will not steal if you don't have stealing spirit. Anything that does not belong to you, you take it. You're a thief. You are stealing not because the thing is there, but it's because a stealing spirit is in you. Now, what is the squeeze to steal? Is the temptation of that thing that is there. Look like this. Look like this. Look like this. It's a spirit. I learned there was one queen of, is it queen mother also in UK? I think they call that spirit. The spirit is called kleptomania or something like that. Queen, where is derived in pleasure from? To thief. So you will go to supermarket and then, you know, where people know they look like a thief. Queen. So because they cannot go for deliverance now, so there is a way they do it. When they escort her, when she thief finish, they know, say, camera, they see her. They will say, I beg, do you know how much somebody else will go and pay secretly and they will go. It's a spirit. So if you're a thief, it's a spirit. And when you the squeeze, it's just like corruption in Nigeria. Look at all these advocates. They are thieves. All of us here. Oh, we're coming. It's corruption that has destroyed Nigeria. Oh, God, let them make a law that the corrupt people, they should die. This one. Now, because you never get there. When they make you minister, will you still talk like that? They say it's the system. It's not the system. If you had no corruption in you, you will not be corrupt when they put you in position of authority. Amen. Praise the Lord. Love of money, income. Judas, it is love of money that pushed him to do what he did. The squeeze of the need for money is what makes people steal. It's what brings corruption. Though Nigerian corruption, they don't thief their own wickedness, no be thief, because they thief not to even use it. They thief it. One man, several billions. I don't understand. Nigeria on, and some of them, they are 80 years old, 70 years old. You are stealing billions. For what? Then the way they do it, they will use somebody's name so that they're not going to say Naim. They go use his friend. They thief the money just to wicked us. Nigeria, we need deliverance. Need deliverance. Love of money will make you thief when you don't need the money. It's true. That was Judas. What of Peter? He saw his betrayer. When the squeeze came to confirm his loyalty to his master, he denied him. It's inside of him. People are looking at love of money. They're not looking at betrayer. It's the same thing. How many of us can stand for our friend? Even if it means us joining him to enter prison. Say now, my friend. No, that's the period. He said, I've been telling her. You see now. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I want to round up, but let me say something. It says, Revelation 6 verse 6 says, touch not the oil or the wine. And we know it is a revival. And if that oil is going to come out, and that wine is going to come out, there will be a squeeze. My mother used to do groundnut oil locally with a mortar, with groundnut. Boil groundnut and bring it. That is the product, end product is that quilly quilly after the oil is out. I know what she does to produce that oil. The same thing with wine. There is the wine press where wine is produced. There is always a squeeze. And the oil there is the Holy Ghost. The wine there is the revival. Hallelujah. And if you want the Holy Ghost, if God wants to manifest the virtues that he has put inside of you, including love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, he will subject you to a situation for it to manifest. My emphasis is what is your name? What is your name? What is your name? Have you discovered your name? Have you admitted your name? Get ready for the squeeze. So that you will know what your prayer point will be. So that, like Jacob, you will wrestle. And there will be evidence of your conversion. There will be evidence of an experience. Everyone that comes to Christ, there is an experience that reminds you of where you are, who you are today, about the change of identity. Jacob, his tie was broken. And if his tie is broken, then you know that the way he used to walk will change. Jacob, why are you walking like this? That was the day my name was changed. From Jacob to a prince with God, Israel. From a drunkard to a pastor. From a prostitute to a prophetess. Is it possible? But something will happen that when you remember how you met him, my own story is the prison yard experience. Till today, he is an ex-convict. And each time you mention prison, I remember that's where I met with Christ and I am who I am today. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. When you meet with him, all pride that you have disappears. Every pride you have disappears. You become very humble. You begin to fear God. You have reason to love God. You become more submissive to the will of God. Such people don't give God the condition to serve him. You don't make up for who you are. You just can't help being who you are because you are now a new creature. You are a new creature. No deliverance that can restore that broken tie of Jacob. It was to remind him. Same thing with Paul. His eye was to remind him of his conversion. What do you have as evidence of Christ that you met? What the pastor said you should say is more than that. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And if you want to be to be a special human being on earth, they are prince and kings. Allow God to work on your nature. Allow God to work on your nature. Be sincere with yourself. Stop blaming any witch for your condition. The Bible says, if a man's way please the Lord, witches and wizards will be at peace with him. Why are you on trouble? Sometimes those trouble is a squeeze to bring out the character of God in you. Or to bring out the reason why you need Christ. You have not arrived because you are a pastor. You have not arrived because you are a minister, a prophet. You have not arrived because you came to church here. You had no money. But when you came here after a deliverance program, door open, I am now a millionaire. That is not the purpose of the cross. There's going to be another squeeze to let you know that we need better character than we are today. Once again, don't say you are a Christian until you have confirmed that what that squeeze has produced. Until you have confirmed. And there is no shortcut to it. We must be perfect. He said, be ye perfect. But he who will make us perfect is the Lord himself. All you do is just surrender. Just surrender. Don't justify your estate. Don't justify a reason to continue to hate a brother, hate a sister. Don't justify a reason to get back at somebody who hit you. I must hit you back. I must hit you back. Christian threaten fellow Christian. You do me this, get ready for me. Christian, a squeeze produced that nonsense character. Christians don't retaliate. Christians forgive. Christians love. Christians are not happy when people around them are suffering. Christians are in the business of lifting up people, not bringing them down. You don't know the position I occupy. You don't know what I see. You don't know the manipulations that go on even around people. Some just to get close to me. And when they cannot get close to me, then they hit other people that maybe they perceive are closer to me. They do that here in this ministry and we see it. Witchcraft of the highest order is in the church. Can we stand up? Make your calling an election. Sure. Here, oh, here. As we close. It's our prayer.
I pray.
I pray.
Let me hear the brother.
Sing it loud, brother.